The Bohemian National Hall is very much the centre of Czech New York, just as it was at the start of the 20th century. Ian Willoughby visited the grand building to meet the man who completed its renovation.
New York's Bohemian National Hall brings together the most important Czech institutions in the city. The Czech Centre, Consulate General and other organisations share the magnificent five-storey preserved building, which representatives of other mid-sized states must envy greatly. Built in the late 19th century, the Bohemian National Hall was initially a social and cultural center for the then enormous Czech community on the Upper East Side. The building fell into disrepair in the second half of the last century, and in 2001 was sold to the Czech state by its operators, the Bohemian Benevolent and Literary Association, for a single dollar. Its present-day splendour is the result of a thorough renovation funded by the Czech government, the spiralling costs of which drew some complaints at home. The latter part of the impressive renovation job was overseen by Prague-born property developer Josef Balázs, head of the Bohemian Benevolent and Literary Association. We spoke at the Bohemian National Hall's Skybox, a conference room adjacent to the building's wonderful ballroom.
Let's say 130 years ago, in the neighborhood here, there were maybe 50,000 ethnic Czechs and Slovaks, I mean, essentially Austro-Hungarians, and there were roughly 80 individual groups. And those groups got together and created this umbrella organization with this poetic name, Bohemian Benevolent and Literary Association, and got together and collected money and built this building. So I think it shows you that they were really active, and it's wonderful. And that's why we have the sign here, Národ sobě, basically exactly the same thing that we have on the National Theatre in Prague. I can imagine that the building was the focal center point of everything Czech and later on Czechoslovak, etc. We actually also found out through our friendly history buffs and scholars that probably the building and the foundation played a very important role in the actual creation of Czechoslovakia, because the community was very strong. The building was the centerpiece of it. And when the community was trying to persuade Woodrow Wilson at the time, the president of the U.S., to support the creation of Czechoslovakia, I can only imagine that it was a very, very, very important part of that.
And before today, when would have been like the heyday, the golden period of the Bohemian National Hall?
I would say probably must have been after it was built. Then obviously between the wars, I would even say after the war, etc. And then when the community started moving out and being more Americanized, etc. I can also understand that there was a time where people were not that interested or didn't have time to participate in things, etc. So maybe the building then was too big for the community. It started falling apart. And when my predecessor, Professor Jan Pokorny, an architect at the Columbia University, and also he was one of the co-founders of the New York City Landmark Commission. So when he, with the rest of the trustees, decided not to sell the building, and what I've seen in the documents at the time, that the valuation of the real estate was roughly $36, $37 million, when they decided to gift the building for one symbolic dollar to the Czech government, it was a great, great decision. The consul general here was Mr. Kandalovic, and he was on the other side of the negotiating table. And I'm thankful to these people that made the decision and made the transaction.
As you know, some people in the Czech Republic complained that it was too expensive, the renovation project here. What do you say to that?
Well, I actually was introduced to the building in the second phase of the renovation. And what I understand, what I recall, was that initially they were different ideas for the renovation. At some point, someone from Prague suggested perhaps the big ballroom should have exposed brick walls and concrete floor, and exposed brick walls would be hip and modern. Later on, people realized that exposed brick walls are nothing special in New York City, that every other gallery and bar has it and has had it since the 50s of the last century. And on the contrary, what's unique in New York City is a restored historical facility. So now what I call it is the equivalent of the European Palazzo. And the value of the building is tremendous. And I do not mean just the value of the real estate and the way it was beautifully, beautifully built, but it plays a very important role even in this geopolitical kind of thing that the Czech government is doing here. Because as an example, when the Czech ambassadors to the UN or the consul generals, when they invite their counterparts here, suddenly the Czech Republic is being taken very seriously because they have such a place to show up.
And how much of the building was totally renovated and how much was preserved during the renovation project?
I mean, essentially, the facade was preserved and the big ballroom was really restored and preserved. But otherwise, the entire building was rebuilt. And again, I've seen some of these reports a bunch of years ago that people were saying, it costs too much. Quite frankly, in New York City, construction dollars, it was a bargain in a way, per square foot, etc. And the way it's done, I mean, you have real moldings, real plaster, real masonry walls. I mean, it's superb. And even when you look around, after 10 years of heavy, heavy use, and obviously some maintenance, it's still a superbly fitted out building.
Somebody told me there used to be a grand staircase here that was lost during the renovation.
I would not call it grand staircase. Yes, it was a staircase that was falling apart completely, and it needed to be replaced. I mean, there also, with any renovation, you have to follow construction codes and requirements, etc. So whatever could be restored, the architects responsible for it decided to restore it. Otherwise, yes, it also has very modern element.
What was the single most difficult part of the renovation?
What I remember in the second phase, technically, was the spiral staircase, because that was kind of challenging for the teams. But in general, again, what was probably difficult was the Czech company that was responsible for the renovation could not really bring their own people. So for the first phase, they were forced to hire local companies. I remember they said that they used the yellow pages.
Was this because of immigration regulations or something like that?
Yeah. I mean, the American authorities would not let them in. So that was what created a fairly big obstacle and challenge for them. And in the second phase, this is how I actually got introduced to it, because I'm local, and with my construction background and knowledge of the market, I was able to help them with suppliers, subcontractors, even gave them a bunch of our guys to help them run the project.
If I understand it right, there's been a few different restaurants here, and it has taken some time for any of them to become successful, but the current one is.
Yes. When we started the first thing with my dear friends, Tomáš Karpišek and Daniel Kronja from Ambiente, we really tried very, very hard to do something special. At that time, Ambiente actually got the first Michelin star with their La Degustación restaurant. So the idea was to show the world that we can do top-notch world cuisine. And that required massive amounts of capital. Unfortunately, the location of the restaurant or the building is in the middle of the block, so it's a fairly unusual location for a restaurant. The other thing is, for many, many years, there was this massive construction going on Second Avenue, the Second Avenue subway system. So there were trenches there, so even for people from the other side of Second Avenue, it was physically fairly challenging just to cross to get to the restaurant. And New York City, I mean, there are gazillions of restaurants here, so it's tough. tough to compete, and especially if you're hidden away, etc. Also, the building has many limitations because of its landmark facade, also because of the fact that the foundation is here, we have the Czech consulate here. We don't want to have any banners on the outside. That was challenging. So after a bunch of years, Tomáš and Daniel and I decided it didn't make sense. We actually tried one more sort of thing, and again, it was tough. Then at the last moment, I brought in a local group, and that didn't work out whatsoever. And then we found Vít and his wife, Vlasta. They work 24/7, essentially, in a restaurant. And now it's a fairly very, very simple Czech cuisine, and it's not losing money. It's kind of breaking even, and it's awesome. People love it. It's very inexpensive and good.
I spoke to you 10 years ago here. Before the place opened, it was kind of half renovated in those days. How does the reality of the Bohemian National Hall today compare to what you hoped for at that time, just before it opened?
I actually hoped first that it would function, you know, in terms of its mechanical components, etc., because, you know, that was my thing. Then I kind of envisioned that it would be really neat if the foundation and its individual subgroups and the Ministry of Foreign Affairs representatives, meaning the consulate, the Czech center, etc., would really work cohesively together and cooperate. And I would say that we really managed to do that. And I'm very, very happy and very proud of all the people that were here and, let's say, not anymore because, you know, even people representing the Czech Republic, I mean, that they move on, etc. But we really turned it around beautifully, and now I think it's really superb. And it also generates income for the actual upkeep of the building, income that feeds our individual groups. And I cannot be more happy. And again, the team that we have here, those dedicated people that really work for it, you know, I want to thank them, and I'm proud of them.
Joseph Balázs, who was speaking to Ian Willoughby at the Bohemian National Hall. Ian will have many more interviews from New York on Radio Prague in the coming weeks and months.